than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under the sea.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. My name is Flipper. It's not Flipper. It's Mark Cook along with Scott Reynolds and the Man Bun himself. Trevor Sycamore.
That song is funny.
We had to bring the Flipper theme back around because we had this on an original podcast when the Bucks were supposed to play the Dolphins in week one.
Which instead we should have had the Gilligan's Island theme with Hurricane Irma and storms and waves.
Yes.
But, oh, man.
Yeah.
What could have been?
The tide was getting rough. The ship was lost.
That was bad. You completely screwed up those words.
Gilligan's Island.
Look.
What is it?
People are already complaining because we're not talking football. Trevor.
Uncle Stan's going to complain in a minute. We have about a minute to get through this.
Oh, great. All right. You should punch your parents for not having you sooner. Now, granted, they probably would have had to have you when they were like nine for you to have been born in the 70s.
Didn't know each other.
Scott and I are probably the same age as your parents.
Or instead of like watching the Disney Channel growing up or Nickelodeon, you should have watched TV Land. Some classic shows.
Right.
I Love Lucy.
Gomer Pyle, Andy Griffith Show.
Gilligan's Island.
Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Different Strokes, What's Happening, BJ and the Bear.
BJ and the Bear, we've already done that.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Flipper was not one of those
shows. I might go back and watch BJ and the Bear.
BJ and the Bear was cool. They had some hot trucker girls.
The concept.
But see, I loved Flipper because as a kid growing up in Florida, I grew up out in the country in the woods. I could relate more to Gentle Ben, although I didn't have a bear as a best friend. But
but you wish you did, right?
I would have preferred a dolphin, though. A dolphin that could talk. Where's my car keys, Flipper? Oh, that's right. I left them in the boat. See, I mean, whatever you needed, Flipper could solve anything.
I'm just saying, it's like the whole premise of the show, and I agree. Listen, when I was a little kid, I thought, wow, that's really cool. And I grew up in Kansas City, so we didn't even have the ocean or anything.
Water,
That was like an exotic show, an exotic idea. But when you go back and watch the episodes now as a grown-up, they're so stupid.
Wow.
It's like Flipper comes to the dock, and there's like and of course, we're talking about Flipper because the Bucks are playing the Dolphins.
Right, and they literally have Flipper on their helmet.
And we're going to get to that in a second. But hold on, Uncle Stan. Hold on. Hold on. But the thing is this.
Honeymooners was a good show, not Flipper.
When you look at the premise of the show, Flipper comes to the dock, and there's like the wildlife ranger dad, whatever. And Flipper's like, what is it, Flipper? There's a tiger shark. Billy's in danger. Where? By the reef. Okay, let's go. And then he has time to get in the boat, follow Flipper. Meanwhile, the tiger shark is circling Bobby like 15, 20 times before going in for the kill. And then right when he does, Flipper comes through and rams him with his nose right in the gills and saves the day.
Well, listen, there's a reason Flipper only lasted for two seasons. Because they ran out of ideas. It's 24 episodes per season. How many times can Flipper save the day?
Right.
I mean,
Flipper, let's talk.
Speaking of only lasting two years, the Bucks coaches.
Well, come on now. Never mind. I won't say that word. But let's just say you're being a bit premature here, Trevor.
It's probably true.
I mean, this team's getting ready to go on a roll. Ryan Fitzpatrick said it. This is going to spark a turnaround.
I know we've said the word must win a bunch. And we've said it before for their playoff chances.
Yeah.
But they have to pick up this win. Basically, Dirk Cutter has to pick up this win, correct?
Yes.
The Dolphins are not good.
Yes, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I know where you're going with this. And this is almost like in college football, where if you're going to be a top 10, top 25 team, and you're playing Troy or a school like that, you got to not just beat them, you got to pound them.
Georgia Southern, have it be like a quality win.
Yeah, Georgia Southern against the Gators.
Yeah. No, that's what I was referencing.
I thought so.
All right. If I roast myself, you can't do it.
Man's getting cocky because Chip Kelly might be coming to town. By the way, I'll mention something TJ Ward said about that earlier. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying. So this is one of those things. Yeah, the Buccaneers, they don't have to win by a whole bunch. Like Dirk Cutter is right. They got to win by one more point than the other guys. But they got to win this game. Because if you lose to the Miami Dolphins, a team that just got waxed on Monday night up in Carolina, they gave up over 500 yards of total offense, 45 points, could not stop the run to save their life. Xavien Howard got burned left and right in that game. If you lose to the Dolphins...
If Mike Evans has less than 100 yards receiving,
yes,
then the offense is broken.
Yes.
Like, I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback, but come on, man.
Well, the thing is, Fitzpatrick showed he could put points on the board. He did that against the Cardinals in the second half, you know?
Right.
I mean, there is some
different,
film.
Different defense. They were probably playing a little bit more but there is some film of him putting some touchdowns
on the board, also throwing some picks, but... But yeah, like when you're an offensive-minded head coach like Dirk Cutter is, you've got to say, all right, listen, this is our get-well game. This is our tonic for the offense.
That's a good way.
That has scored 3 points, 10 points, 15 points. We're training the right way, guys. But this is the game where we make the quantum leap and get 28, 31 points on the board because this is the Dolphins' defense. Well,
you know, I was watching part of the game again since Sunday. And I know that after the game initially, and during the game, we were like, God, this is awful. This is preseason. This is horrible.
I actually took a nap during the game.
You did.
I had to go back and rewatch it to write about it because it was so god-awful boring.
But you know what? This was the more I watched it, though, the more I realized this was a really gutty, gritty win. And
it was.
I say that because everything, this team, there was plenty of excuses that they could have made for going out and laying an egg. All right.
Yep.
The Jets were coming off a win against Buffalo, who beat the Buccaneers. The Josh McCown had completed over 70% of his passes. They were playing without Mike Evans, two banged up offensive linemen, two
Robert
defensive
Ayers
linemen
was banged
out.
Up.
I mean, there was guys banged up everywhere. And the season essentially is over even before that game. And again, this was a classic let's check out and be done, like Raheem Morris's team did during the 10-game losing streak. Now, they go out and lay against the Dolphins. We're in the same boat as we were before the Jets game.
And the season, like, the schedule ahead of it doesn't look good. So that's why I say, like, this game against the Dolphins, and then I guess you could argue Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers because they look awful.
There's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, those two were kind of...
Right.
The Bucs won't be favored in that game.
Oh, I mean...
But no, here's the thing. We talk about the
Unless
offense.
Unless they somehow beat Detroit or Atlanta.
Yeah, the offense needs to show up and finally put some points on the board, and they've got enough weapons. I don't care who the trigger man is, whether it's Jameis Winston or whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's enough weaponry there.
Hell, they ought to be able to score points if Adam Humphreys ended up playing quarterback.
Not
I mean,
a bad idea.
They've
you
got
might be onto
some,
something there.
You know,
Mark.
Run the veer or the triple option or something. But
it works.
You know,
yeah.
Georgia Southern. There's two references.
But here's the
triple
thing.
Option.
The defense, though,
they could win 26-20 without completing a forward pass.
We could.
There you go. This defense, though, shows up at home and plays reasonably well. Had a really good game against the
Great
Jets,
game.
But cannot allow 30 points to the Miami Dolphins on the road.
Are they really on the road, though? This is the same state, you know?
Well,
it doesn't really count as
you know what if
game.
I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm saying that. I'm saying this is kind of like Tampa South.
Yeah.
This is like South Tampa, really.
Yeah.
We're just going to head Dale Mabry South. We're going to keep going.
Past McDill.
Past the Everglades.
Yeah,
you know,
and
then
hit the Alligator Alley.
And we'll be at Hard Rock Stadium.
Right.
You know? We got a Hard Rock here in Tampa. We're just down the road.
Guys. Yeah. People
Indians
losing everywhere.
Money here. They lose money there, you know?
Same thing.
Well, I think that, you know, there's no question, but they got to win this football game. I mean, if... Yeah, obviously, we don't even need to say if they have any chance of any postseason or
post-season
blah, blah, blah,
done.
Or saving
post-season
jobs, whatever. They've got to win it. Obviously that. But just from a don't lose this community, just keep the hope, a little bit of hope. And Buccaneer fans, the hardcore Buccaneer fans are patient. They're going to support their team. But they will eventually get to the point, and we saw it in 2011, where they just check out completely.
Yeah.
You and I checked out, Scott. I remember that was my first year full-time with you guys. And I remember... The Houston
Welcome to
game.
The fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Houston game.
I remember
was awful.
I was sitting there, I went through the game. I said, I genuinely felt sorry for people because my sister's boyfriend came into town and paid $91 for a corner seat to watch that crap.
Yep.
And you and I walked in that stadium knowing that team had zero chance of winning that football game.
Right.
Listen, guys, I used to go to the game at the old stadium. I would be 15, 16. My mom would pick us up. We'd go to Tampa. She'd drop me off at the stadium with $10. I'd have to figure out how to buy a ticket, blah, blah, blah. And
you,
I was
pretty
good.
You would find some free ones on the car windshields.
I literally would. Yeah. I would sell those for $5, and I had $20.
Those
you know,
are the
and
good
I would,
days.
I would come back with a profit. But I watched some horrible football games. But I always felt even during those lean times, there was a chance that it was going to be a competitive football game. And a lot of times they were, not 76, and you know, but I'm talking about you know the mid-80s when they were really bad.
Yeah.
But there were times in 2011 where I just walked in the stadium thinking there's no chance they could win.
Well,
you don't ever want your fans to feel that way again.
Right.
And they shouldn't because there is talent. In 2011, there wasn't the talent this football team has.
Yeah.
Not even close. You had to really Ben as your star wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who else?
He's like wide receiver 5 in Jacksonville now.
I'm amazed he's still in the league, though. I got to give the guy props.
Yep.
How's that guy still in the league? I have no idea, but he is. He's vested. When he retires, he's going to get a pension. That's true.
He's going to get a pension.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Well, he's got so many injuries. Well, yeah. He's just going to be like a cripple.
Right, right. Yeah, he's going to be in a lot
of those
lawsuits.
He probably already has arthritis. Yeah, sure. Exactly. So, yeah, you know, the defense, the offense, and I've listen, I'm going out of town. I'm not going to be here next week. Going to have to watch the games remotely. Going back to Kansas City for Thanksgiving.
Dude, I don't know what happened. What your lot in life created that you have to drive to Kansas City in November.
I'm actually looking forward to it.
I'm sorry that the gods are not smiling on you. And
no,
you got to go to that state that Trevor and I don't actually believe is a real state.
It
is. Never met anybody from Kansas.
Well, you've met me.
No, I actually
haven't. But we don't know that you're real, and we don't know that you really are from there.
You can't prove that.
You can't.
Okay, well, I'm going to take some pictures from Kansas. And
Photoshop.
Exactly.
Golly. Technology. You're getting all my tricks
next
now.
Thing he's going to say, South Dakota's real, too.
I'm going to take a picture with Bill Snyder. Actually, I'm going to get it on video, and I'm going to send it to you guys.
On VHS.
Yeah. Well, that's how Bill would want it.
I was going to say, he's old school.
Yeah.
Does he smell like mothballs? Is that a beta? I have a feeling he smells like mothballs.
He might.
He's pretty old.
He might.
How old is he for real?
He's 77 years old.
Yeah. He's the same age Grandpa Walton was when he died in the Waltons.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
If the Bucks win this game against Miami.
I know where you're going with this.
Playoffs.
That will be two wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it will also be the two minimum weeks that we heard Jameis Winston would be out. Now, since then, we've heard Jason Light use the word extended time.
Period.
Yes.
Extended period of time that he is going to be out. If they win this game,
they'll be 7-3.
No,
they won't.
No, they won't.
No. Are you sure?
So
4-6.
They will have won two in a row. The next two opponents coming up, both on the road. It's at
Falcons,
Atlanta, and then
Packers
at Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly believe? First of all, I guess, do you honestly believe that when they tell us, Jameis Winston, you know, he might be coming back. One, do you think that's real? And two, if it is, do you bring him back for either of those games before the Detroit home game, or do you wait to see if you can somehow, some way, go 3-1 over these next, or what would be the next four games, and then bring him back at home?
That's a great question. We probably should roundtable that.
I mean,
where is Jameis, by the way?
He's in the facility. He's under wraps.
No, he's
not there. He's not getting treatment.
He's checking on Dr. James Andrews' couch.
Actually, there was a death in the family. I'm friends with some of his family members on Facebook, and there was a death in the family. And I haven't quite determined that I haven't bugged anybody up there. But Jameis was not out there today.
He wasn't there yesterday.
Or yesterday.
Yeah,
he hasn't been in his locker room. So, he may be back in Alabama. I mean, he can't do anything with his shoulder dealing with a family emergency. I don't even know why I mentioned that. It really doesn't matter. But anyway, if that's the case, our prayers and condolences to the Winstons.
Halfway to Dr. James Andrews' office.
Getting back to getting back to my Kansas City trip, the reason I mentioned that is I've already written my preview for this game, and I've already mailed it to you guys.
Just I saw that. Is it you overachiever?
Yeah, but I haven't checked my mailbox.
That's me. That's there. My job. I'm the one who doesn't check email.
Email. He said he mailed it. I thought he meant
there can't
posted.
Be two guys who don't check email.
No, I check mine.
Yeah, one of you guys needs to check.
I actually have it on this contraption here called a phone.
See, I do too.
Okay, now,
I just don't check it.
Email, that stands for electronic mail. It's kind of like texting, but like in a different form. And like you, instead of just hitting like enter, you're hitting send, and I'm going to send it from my computer or phone to you.
I don't follow you.
Kind of like a text message, but a little different.
Can I just mention a pet peeve I have with you, Scott?
Which is?
Let's just throw it out here on the table.
Oh, boy.
There's no table here.
I know that you're old, and I'm old, and so I can appreciate some of your old qualities. But I think Trevor and I joke about this all the time. When you text like formally with like punctuation.
I do.
Periods, commas.
Sometimes, for the longest time, I did, because if I didn't, I'd never remember to do it when I was writing articles.
Oh. Thank you.
So,
that's why I do it.
Really?
I got to stay consistent.
Now I don't have to. So now I can just every word in the book.
Right, exactly.
Where people don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, but you talk millennial. You have like the millennial code going, which I'm...
Right.
I'm oblivious to.
Right.
I haven't learned millennial code
when
yet.
When Trevor texts me, I always think there's a fire somewhere because he uses words like lit and emojis of fire. I'm always concerned I need to call the fire department.
That's
that he's
I'm
being
here,
held
man.
Hostage or
well,
something.
That's why I'm here.
I was
broaden your horizons.
I think that he has.
You can't say thank you very much, comma, mark, period, in a text. I want to scream.
Do.
It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. Haven't I mentioned that to you before? So now me and Trevor do it as a goof.
Listen,
but see, you can relax. It's okay to relax,
okay.
Professor Reynolds.
Well, I'll say this.
Thanks, fam.
What really got me about Trevor was, for the longest time, I thought he was sick. I thought when he would text and he would put like the little 100 symbol, I thought that was like his fever.
Temperature.
Yeah,
yes.
Like he had a fever of 100. I'm like,
wait,
oh my
not.
God, is he sick again?
I thought that was Donovan Smith's grade in the game.
No.
No. No.
What?
No, there would not be,
graded at 100
there would be
yet?
A minus in front of that.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's quite the DJ in the locker room, though.
Is he?
He was playing some good tunes today.
So we're way off topic on this one, but like,
okay, here, and here's
so
why.
Are the Buccaneers.
I'm
going to
put the period on my point. My point was in the preview.
Was you're going
this
to Kansas.
This is the battle of the sucks, in whichever team sucks least is going to win. Both of these teams play inconsistent football on both sides of the ball. I don't know who's going to win. I'm going to guess the Buccaneers because they showed they could win a game last week,
right?
And I still think talent wise.
They're better.
It's almost like in the Super Bowl, if you've got two even teams, I look, who's got the better quarterback? Well, that's who I think is going to win.
And take the quarterback away, just the offensive talent. I mean, you've got the Dolphins trading away their best offensive weapon a few weeks ago.
Do you know this, like with Mike Smith, when he was at the podium yesterday, I think the last question he was asked was, hey, are you glad you don't have to go against J.H.I.?
Right.
And like immediately he just goes, yeah. We're very glad.
One less guy
we don't have
worry
to go
about.
Up against him. And like that was it. And I noticed that how fast he answered that question.
Yeah. I mean, this is a more – listen, if you are a fantasy football player and the last two quarterbacks are – and this is even before the season, Jay Cutler or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, okay, you can't say before the season because nobody expected Ryan to be playing.
Except
the people that believed in the Ryan Fitzpatrick curse.
Yeah. Which is,
he knew
which
that
is,
he was going to
play.
And the Hard Knocks curse.
Right.
And the Buccaneers curse.
Yeah.
All right, the Doug Williams curse is still there.
And the John Gruden curse. Hey, man, this team's not going to make the playoffs unless I'm coaching, man.
Speaking of that, we're going to get into that shortly, too, by the way. All right, so, but I'm saying, I would still take Ryan Fitzpatrick over Jay Cutler all day long. Whew. Jay Cutler is the least impressive quarterback, starting quarterback, who's continued to start for so many years that I have seen in a long time.
I think I'd run the
Name me a more roller coaster, up and down, inconsistent quarterback who has started for the last 8 years for a team.
Yeah, I would kind of believe you on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. I mean,
it helps too that Fitzpatrick has DeShaun Jackson, Mike Evans, Cam Brayton, OG Howard.
Certainly part of it.
And Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries.
Physical tools, Jay Cutler all day long.
Yeah.
Shoulders up, I'm taking Fitzpatrick.
Well, he's a Harvard guy. I mean, not to knock Vanderbilt.
That's right.
But I'm just saying.
Vandy's pretty good for
Vandy's
the SEC.
Vandy's pretty good. But
intelligence wise. You know, they're the Georgia Tech of the SEC.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. All right. So now you mentioned Gruden. And I don't know, guys. This is crazy.
Like,
I've been hearing
Gruden
rumors.
Is like the G word now. Anytime you say that, it's over the last 3 months, it's just like now anytime anybody says Gruden, it's like.
Well, I caught so
it's
much.
It's like you have to whisper his name.
Have you guys been watching the news lately?
Yes.
There's some talk that Gruden could be thinking about coming back to coaching.
If Trump tweets about it,
yes.
Then it's
real. Are you kidding me?
No, I saw it.
Where is that being reported?
And on news outlets everywhere but Peter Report.
Golly, wish we had that.
I know. If only we could have been first in July of 2017.
Well, John did tell me, and you were there, Trevor, he's preparing to come back. Yeah. And I know some people didn't believe that or want to believe that. And, you know, all of the signs were point. You could see it. You could see it on his face.
Oh yeah, you can see it when people talk about stuff that they're passionate about.
Yeah,
you know,
we saw it at the Ring of Honor when we were up there interviewing him.
Yeah, 100%.
We saw it on Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
When they couldn't get him out of the room.
That's my first time meeting John face to face, and he is such a genuine person that you can tell. I mean, and that's why.
Well, I'll say this. I'm gonna preface you. There is a layer of BS to John, but if you have a trained eye,
you'll be
able to spot that.
That's fair.
Quickly, but
I think.
But he was being genuine.
Okay,
that day.
But I will say that I think.
So ask some of his former players about how genuine he was.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But like joy is not something that you can normally BS, right? I mean, negatives, like you said, like as a coach, hiding things, maybe going this way or that. Like coaching, I can understand you, like him not always being genuine in what he says because he's a coach and that's kind of part of the job. But like when you're talking about things that somebody enjoys, like a great quarterback that he has in the camp or something, or like we talked about with him, coaching, you know, getting back to coaching. Like you can't hide when
the
you have joy for
something. The only person I've ever met that could hide that would be Gus Bradley. Scott and I are going to do a little role play right here. Coach, right. Coach, I know you're coaching the Jaguars right now, but we just found out that every member of your family died in a propane explosion. You're the only survivor in the entire family. Everyone's dead.
Oh, gosh. You know what? Well, first of all, I'd like to say that's disappointing, but gosh, I'm so blessed to have just gotten to know all my family members and been raised by my mom and dad. I mean, you know, it's such a tragedy, but I just tell you, you know, I've just been a lucky son. I mean, you know, I think they did a good job. I don't want to toot my own horn, but just got
to
love them.
To be a father to those three kids for 8, 12, and 13 years, I mean, that's an honor, and I'll take it. It's better than nothing. No, I joke about that because Gus is the nicest guy in the world. He could fake emotion, but you're right. As far as John Gruden goes, when you come to a situation like that, you see the passion in his eyes. You hear the conviction in his voice. He wants redemption.
It's something we talked about right, like immediately in the parking lot of the Fired Football Coaches Association.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Where we both looked at each other and said, this guy wants to coach again.
100%.
And he's still a Buccaneer. He kept using the word we.
Yeah.
During that.
No, there's no doubt
and
about
then,
it.
And then he did that a couple days later for everybody at the press conference where he mentioned we and he even said, I still feel like I'm a part of this.
Right.
And he is. And this is the dream job. The dream job is for John is to go to a team that has a young quarterback that he can develop that
surrounded
he already knows is going to be good.
Right.
Yes, and it's surrounded by weapons that doesn't have a horrible cap situation like he had to deal with his entire time in Tampa. It was an awful cap mess.
And they may not have found his stash of Coors Light up in his office since he got fired too.
True. So it still might be there up in the rafters.
Yep.
Might want to check the date on that, but still.
It's Coors Light. You won't be able to tell
the
difference.
Well, he's a Corona guy too,
oh, okay.
Right? I mean, he gets...
Well, yeah.
Now,
the
he, now
money.
He would
yeah.
tell you he is because
right.
he's getting paid for
yeah.
it.
So, yeah, I think I would bet money he would want this job. Let's just say that.
Oh, absolutely. Now,
would you bet it on mybookie.ag?
I would bet it on mybookie.ag.
Shameless
plug.
Well,
why don't
right?
you?
Yeah. Well, why not? I cleaned up. I won all five of my college football bets on Saturday.
Like $26 total.
It was. Yes, it was $23.
You know what I'd do with that $26?
And you know what I should have done?
Double it.
Straight to Hard Rock. First thing I thought after I saw
all of those wins line up for me was, damn it, this should have been the parlay week. I should have done like the triple play, and I would have tripled my money. But here's the way you can double your money. If you go to mybookie.ag and sign up, use the promo code PEWTER, they're going to double your initial deposit.
Up to $5 million.
I don't know if it's
probably
that much. Probably not that much.
No.
But I'm going to guess probably at least 1,000.
$5 million.
Yeah, probably so.
You know, mine was $100. So, boom, they gave me $200 to play with. So, that's awesome. And whether it's college football, which is still going on, NFL, NHL, NBA, they can do in-game bets, national championship odds.
Is Kelly Slater still a thing? Okay,
yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So, go to mybookie.ag. It's our source for online gaming action. Mention pewterreport.com's Pewter Nation podcast when you sign up. Use the promo code Pewter, and they will double your initial deposit.
All right. I'm just going to say this. The Bucks lose to the Dolphins. I'm not coming to work the rest of the year. This is going to be one miserable last month and a half of the season.
I tell you what. I was thinking about this before the podcast. I think the magic number before we really see like the mass checkout in the locker room is 8. I think that when the loss once they get two more losses,
yeah.
once they can't have a winning record and they're mathematically out of it, then I think it gets really bad.
Doesn't this game show us the true character of this football team coming off a win?
Yeah.
Going on the road, a place they've struggled all year. Are they a different football team? Was it all lip service, what Chris Baker said, what DeSean Jackson said, what Ryan Fitt? This game is going to tell us a lot about the heart
of the
football team.
We're halfway through the season. This team has not won back-to-back games yet. They haven't won on the road yet.
Right.
And if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it?
Yeah,
that's the thing. So to me, the magic number is 8. And if this loss, if this game becomes a loss, number 7 for the Bucks, then Dirk Koetter's in real trouble. Yeah. I mean, real, real, real trouble. And then, and as you're going to read about on my SR's Fab 5 on Friday, it is all about John Gruden. And
you know, it would be cool if they hired John Gruden tomorrow before your Fab came out and you had to rewrite the entire thing.
That would suck so bad.
Awesome. 10,000 new words. They hired Gruden tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
Right before his Fab came out.
I might want to just post it tonight just to like beat the lasers to the punch.
You better.
Damn. Hey,
they fired Lovie Smith at 10:30 at night.
That's true, they did.
Yeah. Well, Mark freaked me out, so here's the Fab 5.
Yes. Thankfully.
Oh, yeah, that should be our theme song.
It's written. But, yeah, it's all about John Gruden. And I take – I'm not – necessarily, well, first of all, I'm not calling for Dirk Koetter to be fired. I state clearly and specifically in the column that Dirk Koetter can make all this Gruden talk go away. If he can go on the run, he needs to go on with his franchise. And if they can get to 9-7 and at least match last year's record, if they can, 10-6 is still a mathematical possibility. The playoffs are not yet out of reach, but they're on life support right now. But Dirk Koetter controls this. If they can win games and string together some wins, and guys, December, and Trev, you were talking about this with me before we came in, December is the magic month.
Yeah, it is.
Because Lovie Smith, even after I called for him to be fired.
You win 3 in December, right? I mean,
yeah.
You look a lot better, whatever the end of your record is.
Exactly. Lovie Smith, even after the collapse at the Capitol, that awful Redskins game, got this team to 6-6. In 2015, James's first year, they destroyed the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, he went down to 5 touchdowns, and things were clicking. And then he went 0-4 in December, and that was it. Right. John Gruden, in his last year, started off 9-3 and went 0-4 in December.
And Greg Schiano got blown out the last game against the Saints.
Yeah.
And lost the week before to San Francisco.
Yep.
I mean, how you finish makes a difference.
It does.
Screw up 100%. Upstairs.
It really does.
And I this reminds me of last year after the Bucs beat Carolina in the final game, I was walking back from open locker room. We actually left Dirk's press conference and Jameis's, went to open locker room. Nobody was there. I was walking back, and Dirk was walking back out to meet with his family. And Deckerhoff was there, and I was like, hey, Gene, let's take a picture. And Dirk jumps in the picture, the selfie,
that,
right? And I've never seen him so excited. And so then me and him are walking, I go, I mean, I know you had to say that, you know, 8-8, 9-7 is not that big a difference. Because, oh, trust me, it's huge. Into next year.
Yeah,
now
big difference
didn't really,
between 8-8 and 9.
Didn't really pan out to be huge, but I understand.
Maybe
every coach wants that momentum going into the next year, and you know, and they've got to figure out a way to win some games. Like you say, win in December, even if you don't win. I mean, if you lose your next two, but. But the thing is, those are not easy games in December.
No, they're not.
There's no more easy games other than this one.
It's basically division games. Because you've got to play the Panthers.
Which is...
in Carolina on Christmas Eve. What do you think the
close the year
motivation
out
will be?
Here against the Saints. Let me ask you this. Serious question. If somehow the Bucs get back in it, and they're playing the Saints in the final game, do you go full on Tonya Harding, Jeff Glulie, and take Drew Brees' kneecap out with a club?
100%. Yeah, before he gets in the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Okay. I would.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally.
You hire a guy.
Now, something's actually going to happen, and somebody's going to send the police this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to be nabbed as the Seminole Heights killer and the guy who busted Drew Brees' kneecap. Great.
Wow. Way to go, Mark.
Just kidding.
That's
I would never
career.
Do that. I'm not a violent guy.
You're not.
Sure, you're not.
No.
Not at all.
And that's why Jude IJ Barima hasn't fought you yet, because he pities you.
Jude Ajay Barima put himself on injured reserve. The doctors are like, no, there's nothing wrong. You're fine. And he's like, no, man, I got to get away from Cook.
Okay.
That's a true story.
All right.
He told me that.
Okay.
In locker room the other day when he was running.
Yeah.
Runs pretty good on a bad leg.
Well, I know. I was getting ready to say he's preparing for his comeback, and I think that you're in the crosshairs.
I'm not scared.
Okay.
Where's Robert Ayers?
Wow.
I just want to tell you congratulations on his last two games.
Okay.
He's played really well.
I was going to say, you don't want to fight Robert Ayers right now, because I was in the locker room and I was around when they were interviewing him, and somebody was like, hey, you know, finally got off this losing streak. You know, what's it like to get a win? He just goes, doesn't matter. It's just one.
Yeah.
Got to get two.
Yeah.
And that was like the whole quote. Just stared at him. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's
Robert
one.
Ayers
gotta
didn't
get
like
two.
My question in fifth down when I asked if he was stranded on a desert island with one teammate. He's like, what? I got to be stranded with a dude. I want to populate the earth if it's just two of us left. I'm not going to be on here with a dude. I'm not answering your question.
I mean,
straight up refused to.
Yeah.
That's why Robert Ayers hasn't been featured in the fifth.
That's actually a good answer. That's a hell of an answer.
It's the right answer. Being a little paranoid.
Well, I'm just saying.
Number one guy this year. Today, I'll just preview. Justin Evans is the guy. It'll be up tomorrow, the fifth down. Rookie Justin Evans. He came up with some good answers, I thought. But he's the only one so far who did not say Alan Cross.
What?
Is that guy.
For what?
For who you would want to be stranded on a deserted island with.
Everybody else said Alan Cross?
Everyone. Every single person.
Why?
Because he's from the country. He can kill. He can hunt. He can
probably start a fire.
last week, Keith Tandy said, he's really athletic. Y'all don't believe it, but he's really athletic. Like, he would, be good at, coconut hoop basketball.
Right.
You know, we would have fun. He'd build games, and so.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
everyone says
if I was stranded on an island with with him, I would look up at the coconuts and say, oh my gosh, like I would love to have a coconut. And he'd say, all right, I'll go up and get you one.
Yeah, right? And we'd get it.
And we'd get it.
And then would like fashion some sort of ping pong from the seed inside. Well, coconuts don't have, right. Yeah, they do have seeds. So you guys would be
so he would provide food and entertainment.
And entertainment.
Damn, that's now, a good combination.
Scott would still complain about that.
The person who, the at least four people so far this year, though, they said, ah, I know who I don't want to be stranded on a desert island with, Evan Smith. He will talk your ear off, they said.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know,
if
you
ask him a question, he does kind of go on.
You know who my answer would be? If I was stranded on a deserted island, I would want to be stuck with Flipper. Because then he could go for help.
Yes,
he could go for help.
Technically, you're not on a deserted island at that point. You're just on a week vacation until Flipper gets back with Ranger Rick.
Flipper, listen, I'm stuck here, man. And he was a...
He'd get poached on the way to go get help.
It sounded exactly like Adam Gase on the Dolphins conference call.
It's 2017. Earlier. People are savage. There's no respect.
It's like whale wars.
There's no respect anymore. No. Oh, Flipper, a famous dolphin, harpooned. You know?
Yeah, he wouldn't make it back.
Hopefully the Bucks will do that.
Japanese whaling crew ended up stabbing him, harpooning him, like you say.
Tragic.
All right. We have come to the end of another brilliant podcast, and I do say brilliant. Well, because I kind of have to contractually obligated to it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be people that'll complain. So, unfortunately, last week I said, give us your thoughts, and people did. And they told me to shut up.
You can preview the Dolphins if you want. Well, the Bucks are bad. The Dolphins are bad. And, have fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you want a 30-minute show of nothing but straight X's and O's.
I will break down
Jay Cutler's misses.
Right.
Every year since 2011.
Right. I want you to break down. In fact, that's your new cover 3 Tuesday. I want you to break down. No, we're not breaking down Jay Cutler, but I always hate that. Oh, he completes 37% between 0 and 14 yards when he throws to the left on second down. That's just too much for
on
me.
On dates that are odd number, Jay Cutler's record is.
That's true. All right. That's kind of the way I feel about the cover 3 anyway. It makes my head hurt really bad. That's why I let you tweet it out, Trevor. Like, I do a couple generic tweets of it, but
you have to read the whole thing. It's got videos in it. You get to watch it. You don't have to just read it. You can watch it.
Trevor wrote another thing.
My dial-up internet doesn't run those GIFs very well, so it kind of freeze. No, I'm just kidding. It's good. No, it really is good, and I thought this one was exceptional as well. I did mention to Kendall Beckwith, I sent him the link of the one you wrote on him in the offseason about how bad he was.
About how trash he is? Yeah. No, I actually addressed that in the cover 3
this week. I saw you talking to Kendall today. I love talking to that guy. He's a cool dude. Nice, down-to-earth guy. Yeah,
he was actually eating a cookie today. And Keith Taney came over and reprimanded him for eating a cookie.
He's
got a sweet tooth. I know Kendall's got a sweet tooth.
I think Kendall might be the most obsessed guy with ping pong. Because I think he played...
When he's not even playing, he's studying. Like, watching.
I think he played
Mike Evans broke a paddle today.
Well, I saw...
He's the most competitive guy.
But I'm saying, I saw Kendall play like 5 out of the 7 games they played, Kendall was playing. And then when one of them was done, he walks over to like where the defensive line side of the locker room is, holds up his ping pong paddle, and he's like, any of you want this?
Wow.
And they all started yelling stuff back at him, and he just goes, this is what I thought, and then just like walks... I don't even know if somebody answered him or not. But.
Damn.
Yeah, into it.
Mike Evans got on to Honcho for saying he broke it because he said he broke the ping pong paddle before we got in there, and Alan Cross said something to him about, you know, you're the one breaking ping pong paddles, and Mike Evans was like, really, you're gonna say that in front of the media? Now they're gonna be like, oh, Mike Evans can't control his temper. And I was like, already tweeted it, got it. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Alan.
Appreciate it, son.
Yeah. But Mike Evans is we're gonna have to do a show in the off season about guys we dig and. We won't really beat up guys we don't dig so much. There's a lot of good guys in that locker room.
Oh, yeah.
We're surprised
Evans
fans.
Is top-notch. He really is.
He's a good guy.
I need to talk to Mike about the new Call of Duty that came out because I know he's a Call of Duty guy. So next time I get in front of him, I'm going to ask him if he's bought it.
Just don't pat him on the back. We had to fire an intern last year for that.
Oh, that's true.
Like physically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't touch Mike Evans.
Yeah, you do not touch Mike Evans. Whatever you do, do not touch him.
Remember something about Mary when they touch Warren's ear?
No.
You should probably watch that movie.
Yeah, okay. It might give you some insight.
Yeah.
Something about Mary. Check it out, Trevor.
Yeah.
Required viewing.
I see that you use some of the same hair product. Anyway, all right, we're going to end it. Now, wait, one thing I had to say real quick, because I mentioned it earlier real quick about his Gators. T.J. Ward played for Chip Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Up at Oregon, and I said, and so I was just talking to him. I was just talking to T.J. about the difference between playing in Denver, playing in Tampa, East Coast versus West Coast, and he said, well, first of all, this ain't the East Coast. This is the South. He said, it's hot. He's originally from California, so he had to get used to Denver. He says, but I got used to Denver because I played in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then I said, by the way, I said, who did you play for? And he said, Oregon gets really cold too. And I said, well, who'd you play for at Oregon? And he said, Chip Kelly. I said, so what do you think about him coming to Florida? He goes, to the Gators? He goes, he'll win a national championship. He says, with the speed and what he can recruit down here. He said, you know, he didn't do good in the league, but he'll be fine. He'll win a national championship at Florida.
He's a college coach.
I was like,
what
damn it. Mm. I didn't want to hear that.
Mm.
So I just made galooly him myself.
Mm.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. Great. Something's going to happen to him, too.
You
I'm
hate to
get
hear
pinned.
It, Mark. You yeah. hate to hear it. Now
I
Chip
do
Kelly's
hate to
like
hear
not going
to
go to
That's
Florida.
That's all right. I told Mike Evans Jimbo Fisher's going to be coaching at A&M next year. He didn't like that. And Justin Evans is like, what? I was like, I'm just saying. Yeah. Coach K is probably going to get axed. But anyway, we'll do our college football show tomorrow. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, for Trevor Sikkema, for Scott Reynolds, this guy that's going to the state no one's ever seen that was part of this movie, fantasy movie called The Wizard of Oz, which wasn't reality. Kansas.
There are tornadoes
week.
There. Yes. I've actually been in a tornado in Kansas.
We will.
We'll have to hear that next podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't told the story in a while. We need to.
You know what's funny? I'm actually driving through St. Louis, home of Chuck Berry. I might have another Chuck Berry story.
All right.
Oh,
all right.
Great.
We're going to have to
I
hear
might
him.
Have another
Does
one.
Does he have any sons? I mean, legal guys. Chuck Berry Jr.
The ones
what
that
I mean.
The ones that he acknowledges?
All I'm going to say is I would probably keep the wife away from the son, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. All right, guys. We will be back later in the week, minus Scott Reynolds. We will have a special guest on the podcast. We haven't figured out who it's going to be yet, but we will find somebody. We'll drag them in here, twist their arm, and make them talk, and they'll do a much better job than Scott ever does. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooks, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.